In the history of the Islamic Revolution, traveling manifested itself as the most effective factor. One of these very painful journeys started on the noon of November the 4th, 1964.
این مصادیم با این کتک ها، با این حبس ها، با این زرز ها، با این اهانت ها، با این فوس ها و برای این مملکت یک استوانه هستیم. این مصادیم اینجا اگر خدای نخواست جایید یه خطری برای این مملکت پیش بیاد، ما مصادیم در مقابل ولی این ترسیم.
The passenger was Ruhollah Musavi Khomeini, the religious authority of the Shias and a great unique man. He was going into exile under the command of the Pahlavi government. He was charged for taking measures against the monarchy security system. The last evidence of this charge was his speech on October the 26th, which was 9 days before the beginning of the exile. What had that high-ranking cleric said that forced him to tolerate the difficulties of such an unendurable journey? It is clear that it was the Pahlavi regime which had endangered the security and the independence of the country and had dominated the foreigners over the destiny of the Iranian people. It was a pity to see an imam who was so concerned about the independence of the country and the dignity and magnificence of the Muslim people to be exiled all his life without any legal procedures. The military 330 plane left Tehran to board Ankara and took Iran's leader to a 14-year-long exile. Imam Khomeini spent about 1 year in Turkey and 13 years in Najaf. During these 14 years, there was such stifling in Iran that was unmatched in the contemporary history of this country. However, in 1977, the dark cloud's silver lining was seen, and the great efforts of the conscious people of this country gave back awareness to the latent conscience of the people, and the movement of Islamic vigilance was launched. The leadership of this new movement was appointed to the most qualified person again. A person who did not want any wage for his divine responsibility, like the prophets. He did not consider himself the leader of the people, but their servant. He was the person who talked on behalf of his people. He was the person who gave a shock to Iran and the world from his small house in Najaf Ashraf. This is a statement said by Times magazine about Imam Khomeini. If a person cannot do his divine responsibility in Najaf Ashraf and near the holy shrine of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, then traveling is even more religiously necessary than jihad. For the same reason, Imam Khomeini left Najaf toward Kuwait. However, the governors of Kuwait prevented him from entering this country like the others had. But that great leader did something which nobody had thought about. That high-ranking cleric, who traditionally had to settle in holy shrines and seminary schools, made a transition and went to a city which nobody would think of. That city was Paris, the most beautiful city in the world, the capital of France, and the cradle of secularism and regional Western customs. It became evident later that all the powers active in Iran were trying to hinder Imam Khomeini's activities by any possible means. and they had unlimited facilities for this purpose. This journey was completed with a lot of difficulties and propaganda. However, Imam Khomeini and his companions managed to enter the airport in Paris on October the 6th, 1978. Imam Khomeini stayed in Paris for one night, and the next day he went to one of the suburbs of Paris named Neuf-le-Château, along with his Hajj Sayyid Ahmad Khomeini and a couple of other people to find a good place to live. After deciding about the place, they came back to Paris, and the next day they settled in Neuf-le-Château. Imam Khomeini's settling in the little village of Neuf-le-Château made this village a part of history.
هیچ چیز برای شاه دیگر شانس بقا ندارد. ملت ایران تمام.
Soon, his constant and non-stop activities worried the French officials. His press conferences and sending tapes and declarations increased. His faithful followers and supporters in Iran made the continuation of the monarchy system more difficult for Mohammad Reza by their demonstrations and increasing strikes. In 1979, Alexandre de Morange was the head of France's security organization. He was the king's friend for several years. De Morange went to Tehran to sympathize with the king and give him advice on how to reduce the crisis. De Morange says, "I had never seen Mohammad Reza's palace so empty and scary. The first secretary of the embassy and I were led to the king's office. A few minutes later, we went to see the king without any formalities. He asked us abruptly how we could help him. He looked upset and bewildered. He complained with fear and disappointment and repeated his requests many times. The meeting lasted for 3 hours. On the way back, I said to the secretary of the embassy that he was finished like Louis XVI. In spite of his old age and physical weakness, during his 1 month of residing in France, Imam Khomeini had been able to do many things enthusiastically and efficiently because of his great self-confidence, which originated from his divine thinking. These activities included having dozens of speeches and interviews, participating in meetings, sending messages, meeting thousands of his followers who had come from all over the world, and negotiating with dozens of political and religious figures who had come from Tehran. The available documents show that the Pahlavi regime had thought Khomeini would have some contradictions in speech and behavior and would give up his movement because he was a cleric who had spent his life in transitional seminary schools, and France was the exact opposite, modern and developed. In Neuf-le-Château, reporters from famous newspapers, radio and television channels around the world visited Imam Khomeini. They tried to find a weakness in him by using special tricks of the media and then publicized that weak point. Sabak sent some of his agents as reporters to Neuf-le-Château so that they could make Imam Khomeini react to their deviant and undue questions.
ارتش با این وضعی که الان هست و قیامی که ملت کرده است.
But Imam Khomeini's honest and firm statements were so powerful and influential that it prevented all the reporters from persisting in their plot.
و ملت به واسطه همبستگی که به هم دارد یک قدرتی دارد که ارتش را بالاخره جذب می‌کند.
The king and the Westerners had a medieval impression about the clerics, but they did not know the scholastic, philosophical, and political character of Imam Khomeini and his sagacity, intelligence, and open-mindedness. Numerous interviews of Imam Khomeini in France not only were void of any weakness, but also spread progressive anti-hegemonic attitudes of the Imam, which were based on Islamic human rights throughout the world. During those, the people of the world became acquainted with a person who was prevented from being known due to the abundant false propaganda from the Pahlavi regime and its followers. Imam Khomeini's enlightened, progressive, benevolent, and philanthropic viewpoints about the government, women's relations with the world, manifestations of civilization, and development and progress were so attractive for the people that it acquainted many of them with the truth in Islam and Quran. During those four busy and tiresome months, the Imam never forgot the Iranian people. When Imam Khomeini and his companions were under pressure on the border of Kuwait, he told his son, Haj Sayyid Ahmad, who was crying for the difficulties his father was having. The difficulties that the Iranian people are having is 1,000 times more than the difficulties of you and me. In Paris, Imam Khomeini did not talk about himself even once. He was talking about two things all the time: the illuminating and progressive truth of Islam and the difficulties and sufferings imposed on the oppressed people of Iran. During 4 months of Imam Khomeini's residing in Nafilo Chateau, the Pahlavi regime changed three governments in a futile effort to change its strategy. On November the 5th, 1978, the Marshal government of Ashari set fire to some parts of Tehran in an unfair conspiracy, which was one of its tactics. The Marshal government had shown the violent characteristics of the king to the people by means of Marshal Ashari. He killed the people in broad daylight, attended the parliament, and indulged in deceitfulness.
نه از لحاظ نخست وزیری، بلکه از لحاظ حرفه شغلی من. واقعا ایمان دارم به پیشوایان دینم، با اونها رو کمک خودم میدونم.
By forcing his affiliates to flatter him, the king prevented the efficient figures in his government from growing and belittled them via different tactics. No one offered his or her help. All the people turned their back and deserted him in a whirlpool of crises. Few people were willing to implement the king's commands. It was just the opportunity-seeking people who thought they could resist the high waves of the Iranian people's revolution and the magnificence of Imam Khomeini. However, they soon realized that they were wrong and they quit their positions. On October the 26th, 1978, late at night, Sharif Emami left Iran in disguise.